Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or of course, the best place to get all health podcasts, podcasthealth.com. I hope you go to podcasthealth.com and visit them. They are a great site. That's podcasthealth.com. Dr. Jillian Goddard is our guest today in the B segment. This is 1285B. The B's are always great guests. The A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. And boy, did we have a great week of medical news and what it means to you. If you ever think of taking the supplements, creatine or collagen, or even something for your hair, it was a great week. Go to 1285A and download that. In the meantime, Jillian is the author of The Savvy Patient in the Past, and that book is the site where you can go to find out more information. The Savvy, S-A-V-V-Y, patient, patient.com, no punctuation, thesavvypatient.com. But this book is a wonderful book about hormones. It's in fact titled The Hormone Loop. It should be a wonderful book since Dr. Goddard is an endocrinologist trained at the Mount Sinai Hospital. And to talk about her writing skills, she also attended the Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University and Columbia University School of Journalism, and has four kids to practice her discussions with. The hormone loop is about the four hormone loops that you are invested in. And before we get started, Dr. Goddard, since you wrote The Savvy Patient, what caused you to go and turn towards hormones at this time?
I've always been really interested in women's hormonal health as an endocrinologist. Even at in the early days of my practice, my population was heavily women, and women really looking for answers that they were struggling to find about their hormones, and not just their reproductive hormones, but things like thyroid and cortisol and adrenal hormones as well.
Let's go to thyroid hormone first, since you've got four hormone loops: the reproductive loop, as I read the book, the thyroid loop, the growth hormone loop, and the adrenal loop. So we're going to touch on hopefully all of them, but let's go to thyroid hormone first. How many women are, if you will, beset? It's a common thing for women to have thyroid problems. How common is it?
It's quite common. So we know that about 8% of the population has an underactive thyroid, but women are 5 times more likely than men to have an underactive thyroid. And then when you add in overactive thyroid and other thyroid problems like thyroid nodules, by the time women are in midlife, something like 15 to 20% of women will have some sort of thyroid problem.
And it seems to me it's even more common when you get to age 60 and beyond, post-menopause. Is that right, or is my patient experience skewed?
No, I think that one of the things that is really interesting about thyroid hormone in general is that there are 3 times in a woman's life when she is most likely to develop thyroid problems: puberty, pregnancy, and then in perimenopause. So you can imagine by the time women get through menopause and are in their latter 50s and 60s, a fair number of women have accumulated thyroid problems for sure.
So that loop, it affects a lot of things. And that's, I think, one of the hypotheses or one of the things one can get from reading the book is that one of the hormone loops that's out of kilter affects more organs than just the thyroid or just the adrenal or just the reproductive organs or just the growth organs. So talk to us a little bit about the interactions.
Absolutely. So I think it's helpful when you're thinking in particular about the thyroid loop to think about it as though it's the body's gas pedal. So when you press down on the gas, everything goes faster. And when you let up on the gas pedal, you know, everything in the car slows down. And that's true of thyroid hormone. When you have too much thyroid hormone, everything speeds up. And when you don't have enough thyroid hormone, everything slows down. And it actually affects levels of our other hormones because thyroid hormone affects even how quickly we metabolize hormones like estrogen and progesterone and cortisol. And so these loops really do weave and interact with one another in really complex ways.
I can tell you that the symptoms of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which I got to diagnose in Oprah, is one of the things that goes from hot to cold, meaning you can burn out. So at one time you can be very fast, and at another time you can end up being slow in those things and need a replacement. As you cite in the book, it often affects cholesterol and your metabolism of other drugs.
Absolutely.
Now let's flip to one that I think gets much less attention, which is the growth hormone loop. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Certainly, you're right. I think it tends to get left in the pediatric sphere. We assume that once people are full grown and fully developed, that there's no role for growth hormone. But it turns out that growth hormone does, we do continue to make growth hormone in adulthood, although not in the same levels as in childhood. And it does have some very important effects. Growth hormone has effects on our body composition, the balance between fat and muscle in our bodies, and it plays a really important role in stabilizing blood sugar as well.
There was a thought about studies from the VA and others, and you give appropriate recognition to those in the book. So I should remind people that we're talking with Dr. Jillian Goddard, G-O-D-D-A-R-D. She's the author of the wonderful new book, The Hormone Loop, An Empowering Guide to Restoring Hormone Harmony from Puberty to Menopause. It's a HarperCollins book. You can find out more about her and her other book at thesavvypatient.com, as well as there's material in this book there, thesavvypatient.com. Now, Jillian, what about growth hormone, or what does it affect if it declines as we get older?
As we get older, we tend to lose muscle and gain more fat tissue, especially around our midsection. And that can affect us metabolically, put us at risk for things like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And growth hormone does play a role in that shift, along with other hormones like estrogen. You know, we do want people to have adequate growth hormone, even in adulthood, although problems of growth hormone deficiency are much more common in children.
When you say much more common, it doesn't seem to me that we look carefully at growth hormone levels as a routine as we get older. And one of the things as we get older in the veterans, in the male study, so this book is really focused on women, but in the male veterans study, there was a incidence not only of making the men feel stronger and act stronger, but the side effect was it caused connective tissue enlargement, which led to, if you will, some episodes of increase in what we call tunnel problems. That is, nerves go through the tunnels, and whether it is carpal tunnel or other tunnel problems, it increased those, as I remember. I think that was mainly done in men. I don't think any women were involved in that.
That's right.
And you spend a great time in this book talking about the development of puberty. And in fact, one of the suggestions that people should understand is this is a great book for mothers to read with their teenage daughters as they go through this crazy period. I can tell you, my daughter, as she went through this, thought it was an ATM machine, didn't read the messages, at least between 13 and 19. And when she turned 19, all of a sudden I had value again. I understand that's a common phenomenon. So reading about that, I'm not going to go into that other than there is a wonderful set of segments in this book on that segment. But let's go talk about the adrenal loop as our last loop we'll talk about, and let other people read about the reproductive and female hormones, because it's well discussed in the book. And I don't want to spoil their joy of reading it with either their mother or their daughter, depending on age. So talk to us a little bit about the adrenal loop and where is that controlled from?
Sure. I think the adrenal loop is one of the most misunderstood loops in the body, because we think of cortisol and having high cortisol levels as being bad. But in fact, we all need cortisol in the right amounts at the right time. So all the loops actually start up in our brain. They start in our hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is an interesting thing because it is a part of the brain, but it is also a gland that makes hormones. And it really sits at the crossroad of the brain, taking in information internally from inside our body and from our external environment. And the hypothalamus is really what's responding to our environment and to how our body is functioning. So the hypothalamus, if it senses the need for more cortisol, will tell the pituitary gland to make a hormone called ACTH. Then ACTH actually tells the adrenal glands to make cortisol.
Now, what governs the hypothalamus before it drives the pituitary?
The hypothalamus functions under a number of different inputs. Both neuroendocrine inputs are nerves, taking in information, sensory information from the world, but also internal information. The hypothalamus is also sensing the levels of hormones that we have circulating already. So hormones like cortisol and thyroid hormone and estrogen also feed back to the hypothalamus and provide it with information about the balance of those hormones within our body. So the hypothalamus is actually quite important as the center for taking in all this information and helping keep our entire body in balance and homeostasis.
Are there other hormones? In other words, when you talk about the adrenal, we also have an adrenal that you mentioned on the adrenal medulla, which is the inside part of the adrenal and has what we call sympathetic and parasympathetic influences along with your big nerve, the vagus nerve. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the adrenal gland is quite interesting. It makes a number of different hormones. There are two segments, as you mentioned, of the adrenal gland, the medulla or the central part of the adrenal gland and the adrenal cortex. The adrenal cortex is where cortisol comes from. Those two names are not an accident. And the adrenal medulla is where the hormone epinephrine or adrenaline comes from. So cortisol and adrenaline are really important for responding to stress, and they respond to stress in different ways. So adrenaline is sort of the feeling that we get when we have a quick response needed, a quick stress response needed. So if someone startles you and your heart races, that's the effect of adrenaline. Cortisol is the longer lasting hormone that helps you continue to respond to stress over a matter of minutes or even hours.
And are there easy things we can do to correct that loop? In other words, a lot of people say, I'm under too much stress. That would be the chronic stress or even acute stress. What can we do? What can we help people with on correcting that loop? And I should mention, that's a lot of what you discuss in the book. And the book is, of course, The Hormone Loop. And we're talking with Dr. Jillian Goddard, who is a graduate of the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York, a practicing endocrinologist in Westchester County, I believe, New York.
My office is in the city, yeah.
So talk to us about a little bit about what to do to correct at least that one of the loops.
Yeah. So I think people are often looking for quick fixes here. They're looking for some sort of supplement or something that's going to help their adrenal glands better manage stress. But unfortunately, this is an area where there isn't a quick fix. And the things that help us manage stress are the things that dial down the inputs of stress to the hypothalamus. So things like getting adequate sleep, getting adequate rest, resting our brain as well as our body. Exercise can be very helpful in modulating our stress responses. And so can things like mindfulness and meditation. Anything that we do that slows down the inputs to the hypothalamus, that slows the heart rate, that sort of takes us out of the stimulation of the stressful stimulations that we experience in our day-to-day lives are the best things to help our adrenal loop manage well. One of the misconceptions is that ultimately, if we don't manage the adrenal loop, it won't be able to do its job anymore. And that's not true. The adrenal loop can keep pumping out cortisol as long as it needs to. The problem is that cortisol can start to have some detrimental effects on things like blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol levels that can have long-term effects. And cortisol can actually act in our brain and cause clinical anxiety and depression. And so it is important to keep our cortisol levels in balance, but there's no quick fix or quick way to do that beyond some of the measures I mentioned.
We've been talking with Dr. Jillian Goddard, the author of this new book that links all four of the hormone loops from women from puberty through menopause. Jillian Goddard is spelled G-O-D-D-A-R-D. The best website is thesavvypatient.com to find out more about her and this book called The Hormone Loop. Thanks very much, Jillian. And I want to thank our sponsors, both Life's First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and of course, their newest, Relesium, which helps with preventing the side effects, nausea, vomiting, constipation, and diarrhea, takes care of all four in 70% of women and men as they both step up a dose or inject the dose of the GLP-1s or GLP-1 and GIPs. That is Relesium, and you should look for it. The other thing that helps to do that is DIE, D-I-A, RESQ, R-E-S-Q, again, not as well studied as Relesium, but seems to also have that same benefit. And again, also produced by the same company, LifesFirstNaturals.com. The other sponsor is 4Longevity.com. Go to their website and sign up for the free newsletter. I'm your host of You, the Owner's Manual podcast, Dr. Mike Roizen. This has been 1285B. The Bs are always great guests like Dr. Jillian Goddard, the author of The Hormone Loop, where you can find more about her at thesavvypatient.com. We hope you come back next week. We'll be here. And remember, where the best site for podcast health is just that, podcast health. .com. Thanks again.